1 Corinthians 15 then. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to consider the Word of God together now. So for about 35 minutes, we're going to seek to focus upon the message that really matters. The message that really matters. That's what we're going to be focusing upon this morning. And it is the gospel message that really matters. It's Resurrection Sunday. And it's the resurrection of our Lord Jesus which seals the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he triumphs over sin and death and hell, those great enemies that are against all of us. So what matters to us this Christmas, this Easter season, this resurrection day? What's on our hearts? What's on our minds? I want the gospel to be on our minds today. I want the gospel of our Lord Jesus, which is sealed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, to be mattering to us today, and not just Easter Sunday or April the 21st, 2019, but on, day by day. Trust Eve, if you've never come to the Lord Jesus, if you've never known his resurrection power, today might be the day. And if you're a Christian who's drifted, and we all drift, today will be the day of knowing his power, and we go on to live it. We need this message in all of our lives. And I just want to draw your attention, there is also a particular day that we need to be aware of needing the gospel. November the 20th, 2041. Anybody thought about November the 20th, 2041 yet? A few years off. Well, earlier in the month, I went on one of those websites whereby you can punch in certain data about yourself and get your life expectancy. So, 20th of November, 2041, according to their reckoning, is the day I'm due to die. Well, that may be, and it may be not. And of course, the Lord may come before that. But, without being impolite, you've all got a day of reckoning. There is a day appointed to us all for death. And you'll need the gospel in that day. You'll need the gospel. That's the only message you'll need. And you'll need the gospel believed in your heart. And you need the gospel believed now. Because you know, November the 20th, 2014, for me, might actually be April the 22nd, 2019. I don't know. You don't know. So we need the gospel big time for life and for death. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes there to be a message of good news in the gospel. Easter is about the gospel. Easter tells us about Jesus risen from the dead. We need to know about one who has died to conquer death and has made it known to all by his being raised from the dead. He needs to die never again. He has beaten death. We need to embrace this message. We need to understand it, okay? Got to understand it. We're not just going to get a gun and force you all to believe today, although in one sense we wish we could, because you've got to believe, but we're going to persuade you. We want you to understand your need of the gospel, and we want you to believe it. We want you to obey it. We want you to live it. Felton Evangelical Church, you should be living the gospel, living it. The power of God to triumph over sin, lived out, will make big difference in your communities, your workplace, homes, etc. To live well, you need the gospel. To die well, you need the gospel. To live eternally, you need the gospel, which tells us about Jesus Christ. So we're coming to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, and we've already picked up some of the themes of 1 Corinthians 15 this morning in our earlier service. But Paul is writing to some Christians in a church in Corinth, And that church is messed up. It's just got loads and loads of problems. And it's just interesting to note, first of all, that Paul doesn't say, we'll write them off. I'll go somewhere else. He deals with the issues and the problems that they're having. And 1 Corinthians is about various issues. When you come to 1 Corinthians 15, you're coming to consider the issues of the resurrection. They were confused about the resurrection. There were some who were not even believing in resurrection, and they needed to be taught the importance of the resurrection. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. We're focusing on the first 11 verses this morning. And Paul is basically going to say, if there's no resurrection, then there's no gospel, and there's no life, and there's no hope, and, well, nothing matters. It's as big as that. Life is just hopeless and making the best of a bad job. But the resurrection of Jesus seals a life of purpose and hope and destiny. So I want us to be thoughtful, I want us to be excited, I want us to be challenged, I want us to focus upon the great message of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. So all of us, children, this is for you as well, that Jesus has come for us all. So we got 2 points this morning, the priority of the message, or you might say the importance of the message. The things that come first. So Paul speaks here about the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, verse 1, he says, I want to remind you of the gospel. Verse 2, he says, by this gospel. And then in verse 3, he says to them, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. The gospel message which he passed on to them was of first importance. It's the priority. It's the most important things for them to be aware of. Okay? Sometimes you might make a list of things you need to do. I've got this to do, I've got that to do. And when you made a list, at the end you'll come and think, that has priority. That's top of the list. Well, basically Paul's saying to the Corinthian church, this is top of the list. This is the main thing. All of us this morning, I want us just to get this in our mind. Make the main thing the main thing. Felton Evangelical Church, make the main thing the main thing. Okay? So let's just pick up what's happening here. Paul has gone to Corinth and he's preached to them the gospel. And they've received it. Verse 1, this is the gospel. I preached it to you. Okay? And you received it. And they started to live it out. Taken their stand on it. So he's gone to Corinth and he's preached this message. And then he's saying in verse 2, it's in this gospel that they are saved. Now what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? It means to be rescued. They're in a great danger. If you're in your sins, you're in danger of death. You're in danger of eternal hell. And to be saved means to be rescued, means to be taken about out of the terrible state of being in your sin to a new life. You're saved through faith in Jesus Christ who has conquered death. And he's saying to them in verse 2, now, if you keep with this message, you will prove that you're saved. You know, if you really continue believing it, then this is the only message that saves. He says, by this gospel, you are, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. If you ditch the resurrection, you've got no message. It's all hopeless, useless. You need to stick with this message. We will be wiped out as a church if we ditch this message. Your life is nothing if you ditch this message. You will prove you've never had salvation. We prove we have salvation received by faith in Jesus Christ, as I've declared to you. 1st of May 1986, I knew the Lord had graciously blessed me. And the proof of that is a continuance in believing this message. Okay? Notice as well with regard to this message of first importance, he'd received it, verse 3, and he passed it on. Paul had not made it up. He'd been given it and he passed it on. Let's think about that. We are not here to make up the message of the gospel. Okay? I am not here to give you the thoughts of Philip Venables. They are pretty useless and they're not worth very much. But the thoughts of God are essential. And Paul got the thoughts of God and he passed them on. So, first of all, we will make sure that we stick to the Bible as this church, won't we? We will make sure. We as elders are committed to that. I trust we're all committed to that. And second thing is, which we're not quite perhaps so good at, are we? Is the passing on. Is the passing on. Now, we're not all perhaps great speakers and we perhaps all are not great at talking with people, but we can all be in some way passing things on. Even our prayers to be involved, but passing on leaflets or just a little statement somewhere to pass on the message. Well, Paul passed it on. You know, we need to be reminded of this message always. We're prone to go away from it, prone to wander from it, and we need to be sticking with the main thing, the main thing. So make the main thing the main thing. I want to say to us as a church this morning, just make the main thing the main thing. Now, there are many issues. The Bible has many issues. The life of the Christian has many issues. The life of us as a church has many issues. But please, let's make the gospel of Jesus Christ the central issue. Else we will not be very good at working through all the other issues. So there are a whole range of issues. I could mention some. Well, I'll throw some out to you. Your view of future events, the way we do our services, the times of our services, the music we use, the way we do our worship, speaking in tongues, Bible versions, the name we call ourselves as a church, the different roles of men and women, and those all have right and proper considerations in their place, but they must always be subservient, dare I say it, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, work them out, but understand them in the light of the gospel. It's a bit like this. Children, everybody, imagine going into a room and it's dark. Okay? Perhaps you go into somebody's bedroom and it's dark and you can't see and you're trying to understand what's in the room. And you can't work it out what's in the room. What do you need? What do you need? You need light. And then you can see. Oh, yes, I know what's in the room now. I can see. I can take it in. I can describe it. And the gospel's like that as regards to all of our life. The gospel is like the light which makes everything understandable in our lives, in our church, in our world. I just want to emphasize, the gospel is not just some little thing that is just, we might say, just for me. This is world impacting. Because of the gospel, there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth. Because of the gospel. Impacts the whole planet. Okay. So we just want to get this into our hearts, that the main thing is the main thing, and it's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say to me, well, that's all good about this main thing, the gospel. I just want to make some, you know I want to make some sense of this world. I want to connect. You know, I just want, I know there's something to be understood. I just want to connect and feel that my life has value and that I am operating in a reasonable way and I'm just not drifting along and, you know, don't give me all this religious stuff. And I'm saying to you, you only get understanding and connection and being able to see where you are at in life when you get the gospel, because it's your sin ultimately that disturbs and disorientates and gets everything into confusion. And it's the gospel that deals with our sins. It's Jesus Christ who gets everything into perspective. The ordering of our lives and the making sense of our lives. Younger ones, please listen to me. Listen to me. Making sense of your life is only in Jesus Christ, because he deals with the essential issues of our lives. Okay, that's my first point. The priority of the message. The priority of the message. My second point then is the focus of the message. The priority of the message, the gospel message, must be priority. And maybe even asking, well, Philip, you've talked about the gospel a lot this morning. Tell me a bit more. I want to know, what is it? What is this message? You say it's a life and death issue. Okay, then. We're going to consider now the focus of the message. What does it focus upon? What's central to this message? What's at the heart of this message? Well, there's two things at the heart of the message. The first is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways, dare I say, we're going back to Good Friday here. But we only understand everything concerning the true gospel when we are knowing that the death of Jesus is at the heart of the gospel. So we go into verse 3. And this message of first importance is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and that he was buried. Who gets buried? Who do you bury? Who do undertakers deal with? The dead. You only bury the dead. So basically the burial is the proof of the cross. He really did die. Now you can go and examine the books which deal with these things at length. But simply take it on God's word this morning that he was buried. As a really dead man. Jesus Christ really died. And you say to me, well, on average, 151,600 people die every day. Just another death. Well, only one died for sins. Only one died to take away sins. My death can't take away any sins, but Jesus Christ's death can take away sins. So he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, what does that mean? You're telling me this is the heart of the gospel. What does it mean? Christ died for our sins. Let's establish, first of all, that the big problem for each and every one of us. Tell me your big problem this morning. What do you think your big problem is? Sin. Your big problem is your sin. Yeah, and that's what the Bible says. You know, I'm not making it up. It says you died for your sins. That's your big problem. And that's the problem that we need to be dealt with. So Christ died for our sins. Christ died to take away our sins. Propitiation. Well, that's a long word, isn't it? And perhaps you don't want long words this morning, but propitiation means that our Lord Jesus on the cross took our sin and he took all of the judgment of God against our sin. So on the cross, Jesus Christ takes all of our sins. So all of that judgment is ended. God is propitiated, to use the long word. But the important thing for us to be aware of is that the anger of God against our sin is all taken by Jesus. Sin is an outrage. It's an offense to God and needs to be punished. And if you don't believe, you will experience the eternal wrath of the eternal God against your sin. Rightly and properly. But Jesus took all of that wrath for us who believe. So you must believe. You've got two options this morning. You either say, Jesus, you took all my wrath for me and I just worship you and I give thanks for you and I give my life to you. Or you have to face an eternity of experiencing that wrath, which is just too much for us to think about. But it's true. Jesus Christ on the cross took an eternal wrath. He died for our sins. Please, if you haven't believed yet, just realize the consequence of not believing. I say you love it, say you lovingly, carefully, and almost, it's too hard to say, but it has to be said. There is an eternal wrath because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus took our eternal death as he took our judgment on the cross. So, are you aware of your sin? Does it matter? Are you aware of your sin? shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. The two commandments, those are God's standards. Or even the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any image or bow down to it of myself, God says. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Spoken casually of God. You shall honour my day. You shall honour your parents. You shall not murder. The Lord Jesus says we can murder through hatred in our hearts. You shall not commit adultery. Again, we can do that in our hearts. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. You shall not desire something that belongs to somebody else just to have it for yourself. And the commandments of God come, and I just say those are God's standards, and God requires them of us, and we should all be aware of what an offensive thing it is. We should be aware that this is serious stuff, that sin is terrible before God. We all excuse it, and we all sort of play with it, but God does not excuse it, because it's an offence to his holy being. Fundamentally, it's choosing your own way rather than God's way. And in the end, that way is death and hell and destruction. But God has a way of life and hope and purpose. And that's in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, yeah, I can't. Okay. I know things are not well. And things have not been perfect with me. And I've got some sin. But you know I can handle it. You know, somebody, you've got a load of rubbish in your back garden, and you think, well, how am I going to get rid of this? And you call somebody in. You call some waste removal people in, and the chap looks at all the rubbish, and he says, okay, yeah, I can handle it. I'll deal with it. I'll get it out of the way. And sometimes we can be thinking like that of our sin. You think, well, okay, all this business about God, but it'll be okay for me. I can handle it. I'll deal with it. Perhaps just turn over a new life. You can't handle it. But I know one who can handle it. And he took all your sins to the cross. If only you'll believe. He handled it. And there isn't a crumb of debris left. All our sins laid upon him. Rejoice in that, fellow Christians, this morning. It's not a 99.99999999999% job. It's 100% job. Sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. He can handle it. Jesus deals with sins. No, I just want to encourage us again to realize that it is sins that he deals with. And sins are your big problem. You may be suffering health-wise. And I don't want to lessen that reality of that. And you may have financial problems, and you may have relationship problems, and you may have problems in so many different ways, different places. And I don't want to underestimate those, but I want to say to you, your sin is your big problem this morning. Your sin is your big, the fact that you stand before God, having offended him. Fellow Christians, can I just urge us, if God is saying this is of first importance, and we're thinking about the message of first importance, then think about how you pray. I think we need to be thoughtful about how we pray. We should be praying, realizing that this is the most important message for believer and unbeliever, that we need to walk in righteousness. The believer needs to come to the Lord Jesus continually as well for a fresh cleansing. The one who knows Jesus Christ needs to come every day. And we need to be praying for renewal in the life of this church, that we would be a confessing church. But we pray for this community, and the big thing that this community needs is forgiveness of sins. They need this issue dealt with. It's the big issue. So we should be praying this as a priority as well. Okay. Right. Well, you're starting to think, well, yeah, okay. I know everything's not proper. I know everything's not well, and But the world says, what does the world say? The world says, well, it says a few things, doesn't it? You know, okay, we know everything's not right, but yeah, concentrate on these things. Concentrate on, yeah, have some fun. Just go and have some fun. You know, and family, if you really go for your family, they'll get you through. Or just engage when the festivities come round, really go for it big time. Or your finances, get your finances sorted out, and that'll be your security, and you'll be able to get through things. And fashion. Oh, ladies, yeah, go for some fashion, then you'll be something, won't you? And that'll be your rescue from all of these dilemmas about your situation. Or food. Oh, yes. Good food. Oh, yeah. I enjoy lots of good food. That'll keep me going through life. Or foreign trips. Yeah, lots of holidays. Or Facebook. Social media. Yeah, I'll get some value there. And, you know, don't bother with all this religious things. Or football. Oh, yeah, I'll have some football. Or cricket or whatever is your fancy. But go for sport. That'll get you through. That'll be the rescue. Or I'll have some Fortnite. Or whatever other computer game is your fancy. Now, I've said all of those things, and what I'm trying to say to you is, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong necessarily in those things, but the world offers them as the solution. And in the end, they don't provide the solution. They offer life, but they don't bring it. And with all of those F's that we've used, fun, family, festivities, finances, fashion, food, foreign trips, Facebook, football, and Fortnite, and dare I say, a fix of drugs and alcohol thrown in for those who are offered it as the solution. And they all lead in failure. But Jesus said, finished! Salvation on offer to bring a total, full and free healing of your soul. Because he died for sins. Totally. Well, where does that lead us? So basically, where we've been, the priority of the message, and we're dealing with the content of the message, the focus of the message. So we talked about the first point of the focus of the message is the death of Jesus. And you say to me, dead men don't talk. And dead men certainly don't save. Dead men do nothing. So you've just told me Jesus died. And you say, so what? He's dead. Finished. Gone. Like all the rest of them. And Paul would basically say in 1 Corinthians that if that is true, let's give up. Okay? So what to say? Final hymn? Well, no point singing that anyway, is there? Glory to Jesus, risen, conquering Son. He's still dead. There's no life. So that's it, isn't it? You just go, you know, go everybody. Just go and do your best. You don't know what's going to happen in the end. That's it. We'll leave it there, shall we? Well, there's good news, isn't there? It doesn't end there. It doesn't end in a tomb. Those ladies came and the angels came to them and said, shall we all go for it again? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. He's alive. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's different. You want to go to Medina, and where is it? It's the Al-Majid Al-Nabawi Mausoleum. Well, you'll find the remains of Muhammad there, and all other religious readers. You might be able to track down where they are, but you'll never track down where the body of Jesus is. Well, you can, but he's not in a tomb. It's not in a burial place. Where is it? Where is he? He's at home. He's in heaven. He's gone. Jesus is really alive and he's in heaven because he's triumphed over death. Jesus Christ was raised the third day. And again, we have the proof. Like the burial is the proof of the death. The seeing of Jesus is the proof of his life. So carry on from verse 4 onwards and you see all of these proofs. You see that he's buried and that he was raised on the third day according to scripture, that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to 500, and some of those are still alive. Go check it out. Go have a word with them. They know about it. And then he appeared to James. He was part of the family. Yeah, he had pretty close collections. He was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. And then to all the apostles. Then verse 8, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. End of verse 9, Paul said, I persecuted the church. He was a rebel, but God appeared to him. The resurrected Lord appeared to him. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. The resurrection declares that everything that he has been, that everything that was set to be achieved by his cross has been achieved. That there really is forgiveness of sins. That sins can become be taken away. And you can have eternal life. And I want to just say to you, this is not a business of just saying, well, I better get that sorted out and then grit and bear it until 20th of November 2041 and then it'll all be okay. This is life, everybody. It's the power of God because Jesus Christ unites himself with us and we can know his power. This is life, everybody. God calls us to life. It's not as if you're called and you're thinking all the time, I wish I could be doing what the world was doing and enjoying themselves and I'm miserable. No, it's the other way around. The world is perceived to have the enjoyment. In the end, it's all destitute and misery. But the Christ life is the life of hope and life and purpose. You see, we're bound to Christ. That's the wonder of it all. We're now bound to his resurrection. When you come to believe, you're bound with Jesus. You're married to Jesus. You're with him. Fellow Christians, let's be stirred to have to every day be pushing back to our God and say, Lord Jesus, I want your life today. Notice it's according to a plan as well. I didn't read it, but you'll see, I haven't dwelt upon it, but you see, it's according to the scriptures. It's according to the scriptures that he died. It was according to the scriptures that he was resurrected. You know, when you go to Psalm 16, you'll see something of his prophesying his resurrection. You see, so Psalm 22, you'll see prophesying of his death. And you see Isaiah 53, it's all brought together there, his death and his resurrection. You see, God didn't just, as it were, just make it up. Or just do things ad hoc. It's all a plan. It's all a plan. It's all a plan. If you want to really be connected with the real stuff, the real plans, the real way, you come under this sovereign Lord. Perhaps this morning you just want some direction. You just want somebody in control of your life. Because you realize it's all messed up. And I say, here's the control you need, the control of God through Jesus, which comes with the gospel. Where are we then? I just want to say this. All those F's that I used earlier, all of them, and they may be something that you're drawn towards and you're thinking they might be it. What does it say? Fun, family, festivities, fashion, food, Fortnite, football. Your fix. I just say again, you might be thinking, you younger ones, you may be thinking, yes, you're going to get those finances, yes, that'll be it, yes, I'll get a life, yes, and I'm saying to you, no. You can enjoy some of the good things that are involved in them, but they are not ultimate in bringing salvation. They are good, but if you make them ultimate, they will kill you. And I'm saying, come to Christ. Come to the one who's finished everything to bring you life. Come and enjoy him. Fellow Christians, come to him afresh today. Come to him as the resurrected one. No renewing in your heart. Know the delight of sins forgiven. Just rejoice in the wonder of these things. And if you've never come, okay, hopefully, perhaps you're thinking about these things now. I trust you are thinking about what this means for you. Perhaps you've heard things about the gospel this morning. Perhaps now is the day. Now is the day. You can just work it all together and say, yeah, I do realize now it's got to be for Jesus Christ who died for my sins. And then you can know this hope for the future. And finally, just to say, Jesus Christ had two appointments that we thought of this morning. He had an appointment with death and he had an appointment with life. He died and was risen. And going back to where we were, we do have all an appointment, everybody. Do want us to be aware that this is, that I haven't come across anybody aged 150 in my life. This life comes to an end. And we need the gospel. And we need Jesus Christ. And we offer you the gospel today. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Build your life in the gospel. Build your life in the one who once died and is raised. And your life will be formed well, flowing well, and will be for God. Feltham Evangelical Church, can I remind ourselves this morning, with all of our different backgrounds, let us be a gospel-bound, resurrected Jesus Christ church. We will not be bound together any other way, other than in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has saved us into one life and one hope. And let us then be a gospel-shaped church, living out these wonderful truths about how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and was seen. Amen.